For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and welcome. This is Tim Fuel back once again like grassroots master. Joined this week in full health by the man that is the voice of FC United, commentator extraordinaire, Swampy. Welcome, Swampy.
Yeah, good afternoon, and good afternoon to all the listeners out there.
Well, are you feeling better?
I am considerably. My aches and pains, my ailments have pretty much gone. But I've got the commentating curse, unfortunately, of my right ear currently is completely and utterly blocked. So I'm deaf in one ear. And hopefully that's going to be okay, because Saturday we've got a big game. Harrogate away, who are currently second in the division. And commentating when you can't hear anything, or co-commentators, not a good thing. But perhaps for the listener, it's a welcome relief.
You're not going to be shouting even more than normal, are you?
Well, I'm very calm and, you know, calm nowadays in my commentary.
Dave Anderson tells me he's very calm nowadays. I don't see it.
No, the passion's there, and you can't help yourself. I think when you commentate on your own football club, you know, you really do get passionate about it, and there's a slight bias in your tone. And I think every non-league football commentator, and there are plenty of them now around, would all say the same. We could all sound like the BBC, you know, there's no problem with that. But we're all independent, so the passion comes out a little bit more. And I think that's one of the beauties of, you know, working for your own football club. You're allowed to maybe get away with a little bit more than you would if you were working for, you know, another club or indeed the BBC or any other organisation that promotes commentating.
Indeed, everybody wants to be a football podcaster nowadays. Who'd have thought it all those years ago when we started back in BBC London on the Monday evenings?
But
it's great. It's great. And the coverage that non-league's got this week, we'll come on to Dulwich Hamlet a little bit later. But, you know, people at least know about non-league football nowadays. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I drink in a small public house. It's a little tap house, and we do the Northern Premier League podcast from there. But interestingly enough, within the pub itself, and it is basically the front of a shop, so 35, 40 people can sit down maximum. There are 19 non-league football supporters that actually all drink in that pub. And it's quite incredible that, you know, we've got Bradford Park Avenue, Tranmere, Accrington's only back in the Football League now. We've got FC United, we've got Hyde and so on and so on. Darlington, you know, it's incredible. The hotbed of semi-professional football is everywhere. And to sit in the pub and talk about semi-pro football, opposed to having to talk about the Uniteds and the Cities and the Liverpools and the Evertons, and the Spurs and so on and so forth. It's great because you can have a conversation with like-minded people about semi-pro football, and all those that support league football, they're all interested in as well, which is brilliant.
Probably lots of discussions in pubs this weekend with all the very few games on. An odd weekend for football.
Yeah, very much so, wasn't it? It was because the thing is, you couldn't even find a game to go to. That's what we would normally do, wouldn't you? You'd go, right, as a non-league football supporter, my game's off, where are we going? And you look down the list and there was just no games at all to go and watch, unfortunately. And I wasn't going to prepare to pay, you know, £30 or £40 to go and watch a Premier League game of football. So it was alternatives on the Saturday. It was still good because we still talked about semi-pro football.
Yeah, well, there's plenty going on, and you know, we'll get to some of those bigger stories later. But there's still, you know, unfortunately, lots of doom and gloom around. It doesn't look good for Lowestoft Town. They're 8 points off the relegation spot. That's sole relegation spot in the Isthmian Premier. But this week, Chairman Alan Green has resigned, and leading striker Jake Reed has signed for rivals Leiston. And it appears that the players have now gone unpaid during January and February, with the club in a deep financial crisis. There's still this problem in football, isn't there, Swamps?
There is, and as I say, until we get into a system where we financials are dealt with in a professional manner, where some players aren't being paid extortion amounts of money, even in non-league terms, where we can actually be open and accountable, and we can make sure that we're sustainable, we're going to get this. We get the bust and boom, We see it in government. We see it in the way, governments deal with certain issues, and football is no different. They treat it as a commodity, treat it as a business. There's very few people that make millions of pounds out of football clubs, and anyone coming into football from in a semi-professional manner, you've got less likelihood of making money. So there's got to be so many ways we can protect the clubs, and for me it's the ownership is on government, the FA, the PFA, together to protect footballers and supporters have got to start thinking, rather than aiming for football league. Think where you are as a football club. Think how sustainable you are. Think about, if we spend a fortune, can we afford it? And what's going to happen if and when we can't afford it? And we've seen again another club, and there's many, many clubs. I was doing a little bit of a quiz the other day, and it was in relation to the names of football clubs that weren't your usual Uniteds and Uniteds and Cities and so on and so forth. We went through a load of them, and these people were going, oh, they're in the Football League now, aren't they? Said, no, they spent a load of money. They've disappeared. And they could not believe that some of the clubs that used to be league clubs are so far down the pyramid. Because, for me, in my mind, aiming for something that was not sustainable. You've got to be sustainable in life. I can't afford to buy a £2 million house. I live, therefore, in a, £150,000 house because it's within my means. And that is what football needs to do, stay within its means. Simple as that.
Yeah, an interesting story coming out of Worcester City. Have obviously gone through their own turmoil, losing their ground, and then they took elected to take further relegation down to the Midlands Football League this season. But this week, Chairman Anthony Hampson has suggested that they may need to go to a fully amateur status, so not playing their players at all, if they are to achieve their dream of getting back to their own ground. And on the back of that, joint manager Lee Hughes has left the club and he's gone back to playing in a role at Halsoe in town. But John Snape, the manager, he's staying on with his players. He's going to have a meeting with the chairman, and they've got 5 games in the next 15 days. But it is almost having to change that psyche of fans and everybody involved in football, that actually keeping your club going, that's the most important thing.
Of course it is. That's the be and end all of anything, is keeping your football club going. You know, we've seen clubs having to make these decisions based on finances, and some clubs, I mean, you know, the male side of things, you know, the competitive side of football from a men's perspective have gone. They've continued them working with the youth teams and the younger teams and the women's football. But the men's, I mean, Norton and Stockton Nations up in the northeast had to disband their men's team. They were playing FC United in the FA Cup a few seasons ago in a great, great game, building a new clubhouse. And the constraints of football and the financial implications can be devastating, but it's important, imperative, that you keep your football club. You know, you keep what's in the community, and you don't lose out on that. And you know, hard decisions have to be made. If players will take to it, you know, the supporters will, and hopefully going forward you can come back. You can always come back, but once you've gone, it's very hard to get anything back. You know, there's plenty of clubs that have tried, not succeeded, disappeared. And will never be heard of again, which is a crying shame, because, you know, they meant something to somebody, and once you've lost it, it's heartache.
Mm. And further disappointing news down at Dagenham and Redbridge this week is where it appears that the new investor they were hoping to line up has pulled out, and that still leaves the club concerned as to how it will cover its costs until the end of the season. They have got this fundraising game, which takes place, I think, on the March the 21st. So we'll try and find out more about that for next week, where hopefully a strong West Ham United side will be visiting. So it's just a case of, if you are a supporter of a club, whether they've put their hands up and said that they're in problems. Every club is struggling, I'm sure. You know, they're, as you say, nobody really makes any money from football. So, you know, it might be cold and wet out there, but support your club. If you can't make the game, then see if you can put some hours in during the week and get behind your club to keep them ticking along.
Yeah, I think you're right. The lifeblood of semi-professional football and grassroots football are supporters and volunteers. As I said, and you've said there as well, there's a lot of people, and the vast majority of people don't make money in football, because it's a very, very hard place to be. But let's not forget that, and we've talked about this we are swilling in exorbitant amounts of money. We're talking ridiculous amounts of money. We're talking billions and billions and billions of pounds in the British game alone. And as football is a British invention, it has brought the world the greatest game in the world. It has to be surely time that these billions and billions of pounds that are there within football are not just trickled down, are absolutely spread across and turned into absolute quality, turned football into what it should be in this country, the best facilities, the best opportunities for kids to play, the best coaches in the world should all be part and parcel of the British game. Unfortunately, games are all called off. People are losing their livelihoods. Grounds are being closed down. People are being taken to court over naming rights. And it's an absolute disgrace. There has to be something. And that body, as you say, the A-team, need to come in and be able to do something in football to change it for the better. Because, you know, week in, week out, we're losing clubs. We're losing players. Managers are getting despondent. We've got to have happy stories. And there's very seldom a happy story in football, and every week we should have happy stories. We should basically have a level playing field where we can actually make sure that this money is utilised for the greater good. And there's a lot to be done going forward. I haven't got all the answers. I've probably got half of the answers, or maybe just one or two answers. But, you know, supporters are hugely important, and without them, we are nothing. But without money, football cannot survive.
Some other quick bits of news, better news for Cambridge City. We spoke at the back end of last year to Kevin Satchell, their chairman, when planning permission was passed for their new ground at Sawston, but it was still a bit tentative. Tentative no more, though, as the proposal has been rubber stamped by central government without issue, so plans can now go ahead with that new ground. Another interesting tale this week from Maidstone United against Macclesfield Town. That game was due to take place on Tuesday night. The game was postponed, and despite the away side making it to the ground in good time, along with many of the supporters, some of the Maidstone players didn't make it. They were held up on the road due to a serious road traffic accident elsewhere. So that game was postponed, and that's not an easy trip to be making at any point, but to do it all again with the fixtures piling up, that's not going to help John Askey's men in their promotional push. One mention of a managerial move this week as well. Listeners may well remember we spoke to Clipstone FC last year, bottom of the North East Counties League Premier. They're still there and still without a win this season, but manager Jamie Hardwick has left the club to take up a full-time coaching role at Scunthorpe United. Hardwick's assistant, Alan Widdowson, has stepped in to replace him as manager at Clipstone. Okay, so it was one of those weeks again when all those mates who know you support non-league football suddenly had something to talk to you about. Not in a good way, unfortunately, as the latest chapter in the Dulwich Hamlet saga unfolded, then unfolded some more. It's been a busy week, and I'd imagine a very long one in the lives of Dulwich Hamlet fans. Already under the strain of a court cost bill of over £300,000 and a bill from stadium owners and operators Meadow Residential for back rent to the tune of, I think, somewhere around £121,000, plus talk of unpaid tax bills, the club this week then had their licence to use Champion Hill Stadium revoked with immediate effect, and then received a solicitor's letter telling them that trademarks had been registered for their name and variations back in October, putting them in breach just by using their own name that they have been using for 125 years. So, moneyless, homeless and nameless, where does the club go from here? Joining us on the line is Duncan Chapman from the Dulwich Hamlet Supporters Trust, who may or may not have a clear idea. Welcome, Duncan.
Yeah, when you say it like that, it just sounds like an ordinary week. I don't know what you're getting at, really. to be fair, it has been something like a cross between a nightmare and a soap opera. But the thing about the club is it's got fantastic supporters. Who approach any adversity with a smile and a laugh and maybe a half pint of beer or something like that. But the way that our supporters, but also other non-league and league clubs and, you know, famous people like Gary Lineker, and things like that have rallied round and given us as much, if not more, more support than we could ever have hoped for. Gives us some hope and some small crumb of confidence that you know, we may get out of this alive, basically.
And was it one of those weeks when you open up your phone and you just can't believe what you see next? You know, like a text from me asking you to come on the show.
It was a bit, yeah. Well, it was a bit like that. So it was the, well, first of all, we heard they were going to kick us out, and then we heard this trademark thing came up where literally our chairman got a letter delivered to him at home, I think. Saying that we could no longer call ourselves Dulwich Hamlet Football Club or refer to ourselves as the Hamlet or use the letters DHFC, which, to be fair, was so laughable that we just couldn't, it was impossible to take it seriously. You know, so we were going to suddenly stop using a name, which, as you say, we are proudly currently in our 125th year. To be honest, it was more funny than worrying in a way, because it was just so absolutely mad.
Well, I was going to read the whole Meadow press release from Wednesday, but I'll point people in the right direction. I'll give the web address a little bit later. But something from there that they've suggested that they were always registered those trademarks just to hand back to the Supporters Trust. I mean, obviously Supporters Trust, that was the first thing you thought about, wasn't it, as you were setting up the Supporters Trust? You needed to register the trademark of your own football club.
Absolutely. Well, it's very strange. I mean, we are sort of seeking legal advice. Although, to be fair, I think it's more realistic to say that legal advice is seeking us. We've had literally dozens of legal firms, including ones that are so important I've heard of them, getting in touch and saying this isn't right. Whoever sort of sent this to you have been badly advised at best, and possibly done something they really shouldn't have done legally at worst. So it's just sort of slightly crazy. I mean, in terms of the trust involvement, I mean, we haven't had any discussions with Trademark. The company Meadow have now belatedly got in touch with us, offering us trademarks in our own football club, but we don't think we need a trademark, to be honest, because of the fact that we've been there for 125 years. So it's been handled by them in a very sort of ham-fisted sort of manner, and it's sort of quite indicative of their approach, certainly in the last sort of few months, since the whole thing, as you said, blew up sort of around about October, November last year, when they sort of started the process whereby they withdrew funding and effectively have tried to put us in a position where we are forced into administration.
Yeah, you mentioned the soap opera, but it's almost like a cast of thousands, isn't there? Because you as a Supporters Trust, you're separate from the club. But unlike most other, you do own, is it 90 shares you've got in the club? And the only,
I think the Supporters Trust has a very small shareholding. But the only, a few of our individual supporters, I think.
Yeah, so and the only other person is the major shareholder, Nick McCormack. Now, he's the guy that signed over the legal charge to Greendale Property Company, who are effectively Meadow Residential LLP, who are the developers, and they've got an exclusive right to purchase those shares. So, although... You've got quite a bit of clout, haven't you? Because, as you say, the supporters at Dulwich Hamlet really have got behind the club, as well as the supporters of non-league. Yep. And people listen to you. So are you, just joining forces with the club? Is that the way forward for Supporters Trust now? Or?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, to put it, everyone on the Supporters Trust is a volunteer. Everyone's a supporter. And that's true of everyone on the football committee as well. I mean, on this, we are standing completely as one. There's only one thing we're concerned about at the minute, and that is the immediate future of Dulwich Hamlet Football Club. And there's no room for any sort of sideshow at the minute. It's absolutely, everyone bringing whatever skills they have to the table, and trying to find a way, trying to find people we can talk to, trying to get, as I said earlier, we've had offers of legal help, all sorts of, helping kind and everything like that. So no, there's not a cigarette paper between ourselves and anyone else at the club at the moment. We are, you know, we're all just supporters and we're very worried about our football club.
Swampy, I think you've got a question.
Well, it's mind-boggling, in fairness, you know, what's happened certainly in the last week. And, you know, as a member of a supporter-owned football club in FC United of Manchester, I can understand exactly how supporters, as a supporter, you feel. I mean, one of the questions I was going to ask, what kind of sanctions were they looking at putting in place if you continue to use the name? I mean, are they looking at financial, or is it just that ridiculous? Are we just going to just laugh that off and continue?
Well, we had there was a letter, as I say, which went to our chairman from some solicitors that they were using, which basically ordered him, or the club, I suppose, he represents the club, to desist from using, you know, those names, Dunwich Hamlet Football Club, the Hamlet, DHFC, in any, you know, Twitter, any sort of social media, Twitter, and emails and things like that. So, I mean, you know, as I said, really, the point of it was so ridiculous that when the supporters heard about it, it was Tuesday afternoon, funny enough, we were all getting ready to head off to Billericay for our, Clash of the Titans, and which was probably quite good timing in a way, because everyone got together on terraces and, you know, there was an amazing feeling of camaraderie, not dinted at all by the fact that we managed to beat Billericay 3-1. So that was...
Of course,
meant that everyone at least went away happy on that score. But no, in fact, I mean, I think our reaction to it, and a lot of supporters' reaction to it, was to put stuff on Twitter, Facebook, whatever, saying Dulwich Hamlet Football Club, DHFC, sue me, you bastards, basically. So, you know, I honestly think there was no one took it seriously, really.
Rightly so, as far as
we understand.
One of the things to bear in mind, obviously, is, I mean, we've had this situation within football on many occasions. I mean, the latest was Skelmersdale United, who, again, with a very proud history, unfortunately, they lost the ground. They've not lost their identity, but they've moved in, I think, with another football club for a period of time.
Yeah.
Dulwich Hamlets is a very well-known name, 125-year anniversary, and there's a lot of people getting involved. What do you think the future holds for the football club? What are your aspirations, really? Because obviously you're doing tremendously well in the division, you're top of the league at the moment, and this is one of the last things you would really want to happen.
Absolutely, and to be honest, the way the players responded on Tuesday was amazing. You know, you could certainly forgive them for being somewhat distracted, but the way they came together on Tuesday was amazing. I think what we want out of this is you know, one of the main aims of the Supporters Trust is for a stable, sustainable home in East Dulwich where we currently are. And I have to say, in regard to that, we have had absolutely fantastic support from our local council, Southwark Council, who. I'm not sure many people would be aware of this, but they have a paper going to their cabinet next week, which is actually seeking to purchase the land on which the stadium stands from Meadow if Meadow don't step aside. So that is way beyond the dreams of any, and they would do a small council housing development there themselves, but not involving Metropolitan Open Land or anything like that, which Meadow were interested in doing. So, I mean, to have that sort of in our locker, as it were, to have that sort of support and you know, that sort of backing from the local authority is possibly quite rare, but it's also, you know, fantastically welcome. So in that regard, we can't be confident. You know, we're obviously still all very worried, but I think there's lots of things happening on all sorts of fronts, which give us some confidence. I mean, for instance, one of our local MPs, Helen Hayes, has secured a debate in the House of Commons next Friday, where the future of Dulwich Hamlet Football Club will be discussed. We've got one of our local peers, Lord Roy Kennedy of Southwark, has been wandering around Parliament, getting literally dozens of parliamentarians, putting a Dulwich Hamlet Football scarf on and pledging their support for the campaign. So, I mean, it's just been, you know, beyond what we could have hoped for, the sort of breadth and the depth of the backing that we've had, and that sort of gives you know, as I say, not confidence, but a hope, shall we say, at least a hope that we may get out of this, you know, and remain at Champion Hill you know, where the club's been based for, you know, a long time, well, 100, over 100 years, I think. Yeah.
One final one for me, if that's all right, is obviously, you know, we look at football and we look at the situation where football supporters are left in. Obviously, I'm coming from a fully owned, supporter-owned football club at FC United of Manchester, and there are many other clubs out there. Do you think it's time for the likes of Dulwich Hamlets and the supporters, if things go your way, to maybe look at a new model and maybe look at the fully supporter-owned route, which hopefully can stop this kind of thing happening?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the sort of the aim, overriding aim of the sports trust, for at least the club to be, you know, for the fans to have, you know, a great deal of say in the club and its future. Because in the end, you know, the fans will always be there. The fans change, but you know, they're fans of the club, and it's the people who come in, you know, to try and make a bit of money out of a club that's been there for a long time. They're the ones who always seem to cause the trouble. So, yeah, definitely, it would be great in if we do move into a sort of bright new future for fans to have a say and potentially, you know, an full ownership or part ownership of the club. I think that would be excellent. But having said that, you know, on the other hand, you know, almost everyone involved in the club running it at the moment is a supporter too. So, you know, I wouldn't overstate in any way that, you know, any sort of you know, divisions between the current football committee and the supporters trust. You know, that, you know, I think the main aim at the minute is to get through this situation and then other issues would come up, but certainly in terms of the trust point of view, we would certainly like the fans to have a big say and a big stake in the future of the club, definitely.
And you mentioned, you know, obviously mentioning that in the House of Commons and things like that. One thing from the Meadow press release this week was they did say, we remain willing to sit down with all parties to find a way forward. Is that something that maybe we could all arrange? We need a big hall with all these parties involved. But, you know, do you think, you know, there's still a chance for everybody to hold hands and come to a sensible solution?
Look, I'll tell you what, if Meadow give any indication that they are willing to, A, let us back into our own ground, well, it's not, you know, they technically own it, but we've been there for, we've been on that site since, you know, 1931, I think, that particular site. And let us back in and come, you know, come round to, some of the guarantees they've given us previously in terms of giving us, some, you know, bar money and that sort of support, then we're willing to talk to them, because we don't want to go on the road having to, you know, beg, borrow or steal from other clubs, you know, and much though the offers of help we've had for ground shares and things have been appreciated, you know, Dulwich Hamlets' home is Champion Hill, and that's where we want to be and that's where we want to stay. So, you know, if there's any prospect of Meadow, even at this late stage, coming up, you know, revealing themselves to be rather more reasonable than may have been the case so far, then of course, I think, you know, we're not going to turn around and say no, we're not going to talk about it. But whether the prospect of that is very real, I don't know. But certainly, you know, any chance of us securing you know, access back into our own stadium and carrying on playing there and having a future there, you know, instead of having to ground share or anything like that, would be, you know, of course we'd be willing to talk about that. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that, I mean, that's just it. You're also, you know, everybody's trying to run a football club as well. A football club that's at the top of the division with, you know, lots of, it's a very tight division, lots of people chasing you from below. You're in the busy part of the season where you're trying to organise games.
Yeah, we've got another game this evening, actually.
And you've also now got to potentially arrange that ground share and everything else that goes with it. Having been in ground shares, that's more of a headache than people ever realise.
Yeah. No, I'm sure you're right. Yeah. Ideally, it's something we want to get into. But having said that, as I say, other clubs already have been extremely generous in offering us shares. And, you know, it's obviously quite difficult to the end of the season because we've only got five home. I think we've got five home league games, probably six home games altogether, or thereabouts. And And obviously the playing schedule's in place, so it's, you know, we might end up playing, you know, even if we do a ground show, we might end up playing on Sunday or, you know, this and that to sort of fit in, or we may end up doing games at different grounds. I mean, you know, it's all up in the air and none of it looks very pretty, but we will, you know, we'll get there. You know, I can certainly promise you that there'll be absolutely no lack of endeavour in making sure that we get to the end of the season having fulfilled our fixtures wherever they are played, and we'll move on from there and into next season, and hopefully, as I say, be back at Champion Hill if we have to leave it as soon as is possible. Yeah.
Well, thank you once again for all your time, Duncan, in a busy week. And it is always great to talk to you, and it's great to get your viewpoint from a supporter's point of view, because again, they are the people that matter. This is what football's
Absolutely.
About.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Thanks very much.
Swampy, we're still in contact with Meadow, or their PR guys. You know, I will read at the end of the show, I'll read their full statement, so and also point people in the direction there. We're in contact with the council, and as Duncan mentioned there, there's a potential that they might go for a compulsory purchase option. I know there's, you know, Rio Ferdinand and his team had a bid turned down before the turn of the year. There may be some other buyers. They've got all these grounds. But they're also, you know, Dulwich Hamlet have had this, 2,000 supporters for many home games in recent seasons. But there's also, you know, the people that run that football committee, there's only a handful of them. And, you know, they're trying to run their normal day jobs as well as sort of trying to balance this as a football club. And, you know, it's nice that the non-league world has sort of put their arms around and other people from the football world and, you know, maybe politicians and that sort of thing. But there needs to be that crack commando squad we often talk about, you know, someone from the football world that can come in and help these people with a bit more experience and expertise in what they need to do, because they've got normal lives as well that they're trying to get on with.
They have, yeah, but when you involve with a football club and you've got different fractions within a football club that own that football club, excuse me, then the business side of things is there and thereabouts. And you can see what's happened to this football club, where you've got shareholders here, you've got organisations there, you've got this part here. And for me, it's at a time, I mean, this clearly seems to me, as a personal view, they want to destroy this football club because they're doing it with, you know, a quarter of the season to go. If they want to do this, they can try and implement what they want to at the beginning of the season, before the season starts. But this is clearly a way of trying to disrupt. And for me, the one thing that you've found is that the football community has come together massively. We heard about Rio Ferdinand, as you said, earlier in the season, wanted to try and come in and help out. They've got a lot of people behind them. Dulwich are a big name, big support there as well. And I would hope that these people that have obviously tried to close them down, charging them the extortion amounts of monies in back rent and so on and so forth, are brought to task, because they're not football people. They've got no interest in football, and they're trying to kill the history and a community for the benefit and want of greed, because obviously the land is important. Money can be made to, you know, regentrify an area even more so by building houses possibly. And for me, they've got to stick together. They've got the backing of parliamentarians that can take it forward. And hopefully, I mean, to tell them you can't use your own name, 125 years. We saw something similar a few years ago with Northwich Victoria, didn't we, in 1874. A club with massive amount of history. Somebody who thought they had the divine right to that football club. 1874 ended up being the offshoot of that. And, you know, we don't want the same to happen to Dulwich. We want Dulwich to be able to carry on in the same vein at that ground. And, you know, if there's a compulsory purchase order, put an asset lock on it so it can't be turned into anything else, and the community can benefit, Dulwich can benefit, and the people can. And these charlatans and these people involved that are demanding this money and trying to kill a football club should never, ever, ever be allowed to work in football again. You know, this the fit and proper persons test applies to people like this who really just want to shamelessly ruin what has been built over 125 years. How dare they? They've got no right to do what they're doing, but they are trying to do it. And hopefully we can get a good ending to this story. And hopefully Dulwich can either stay where they are and prosper. And very, very much good luck to them.
So we did try and get the Southwark Council and also Meadow Residential on the show. And we were promised a statement from Meadow, but that hasn't materialised in time for the show. So in the interest of fairness, I will read out the full public statement, their press release of Wednesday the 7th of March. I'll let you listen. Warning, it is rather long. 5 minutes of your time, please. This public statement seeks to outline Meadow's position in respect of recent public comments regarding the future of Dulwich Hamlet Football Club. On 6th of March 2018, we wrote to Dulwich Hamlet Football Club Limited, confirming that following repeated breaches of their licence agreement, we were taking action to withdraw permission for them to use the Champion Hill Stadium. We also wrote to the Dulwich Hamlet Football Club Limited, confirming that Meadow owns the name and trademarks associated with Dulwich Hamlet Football Club. The application for the trademarks was undertaken in early 2017 as part of discussions over a memorandum of understanding and ultimate handover to the Dulwich Hamlet Supporters Trust, namely the fans of the club. Meadow has made contact with Dulwich Hamlet Supporters Trust to facilitate the immediate transfer at no cost of the trademarks to preserve the name and identity of the club itself, irrespective of the continued insolvency of Dulwich Hamlet Football Club Limited. Meadow bought the Champion Hill site out of administration on the 6th of February 2014. At the time of the acquisition, Dulwich Hamlet Football Club Limited was insolvent and owed significant sums to HMRC and various utility companies and service providers. Meadow paid off these Dulwich Hamlet Football Club Limited liabilities to allow continued operation of the club. Meadow then granted Dulwich Hamlet Football Club Limited a licence to play their home matches at Champion Hill. During the term of licensed usage, Meadow has received no rent despite being due under the licence and has subsidised the day-to-day operations of Dulwich Hamlet Football Club Limited. The total funding Meadow has provided just so the club can keep playing is in excess of £750,000 paid by Meadow over the last three seasons. Meadow's plan for the Champion Hill site is to replace the current ground with a new stadium, secure the long-term financial future of the club and provide much-needed housing. Over a number of years, we sought to engage constructively with Southwark Council to secure planning permission in order to implement our plan and therefore ensure the long-term survival of the club. Meadow submitted a planning application following supportive comments from both the GLA and Southwark Council. It became clear in 2016 that Southwark Council were unwilling to determine the planning application for unknown reasons, and Meadow were left with no option but to appeal to the planning inspectorate. Meadow obtained advice from a leading QC who confirmed our view that the planning application was appropriate and sound. So the council again, for unknown reasons, remained determined to block the application and appeal. To achieve this, they took legal action to take away Dulwich Hamlet FC Limited's lease of an AstroTurf pitch at Greendale's playing field. This legal action by Southwark Council removed the club's control of a piece of land which was essential for its sustainable operation and future. Following the court action, the council has pursued Dulwich Hamlet Football Club Limited for legal costs in excess of £300,000, further undermining its financial security and rendering Dulwich Hamlet Football Club Limited insolvent. So that council's legal action was an attempt to block Meadow's proposals to redevelop the site, seemingly at all costs. We repeatedly stressed to Southwark Council that the club had only survived for the past three seasons because Meadow had provided funding and that without a viable stadium project, Meadow could not continue to do so. Meadow has been unable to financially support the club while Southwark Council is determined to prevent the stadium proposals from progressing. This is despite a written plea from the club that the stadium project is essential for its survival. A way forward. Meadow has no dispute with the playing staff, the many loyal fans and members of the community who care about the club and who want the club to survive. Meadow would never have committed such significant sums of money to support the club if it did not genuinely believe in its importance and value to the community. Over the past few days, we have heard and listened to the concerns expressed by the Mayor of London, local MPs and many fans who care about the club. We remain willing to sit down with all parties to find a way forward. Our view is that this is best achieved by Southwark Council to agree a new lease with a club of the AstroTurf at Greendale's playing fields, Southwark Council withdrawing its legal cost claim against Dulwich Hamlet Football Club Limited, Meadow agreeing to allow the club to operate from Champion Hill for the remainder of the season, Meadow transferring with immediate effect the ownership of the trademarks to Dulwich Hamlet Supporters Trust, ensuring that the fans properly own the name and that we can work with us, Dulwich Hamlet Football Club Limited, and Southwark Council to make the changes that are needed to secure its future. Southwark Council agreeing to approach any future planning applications respecting planning law policy and accepted due process. Meadow's fundamental position has never changed. Meadow owns the Champion Hill site and wishes to develop it to provide much needed housing, including affordable housing and a new stadium for the club, therefore securing its future at Champion Hill. With the support of Southwark Council, the community and ultimately the involvement of the Mayor of London, Meadow will do so. Okay, so let's move on to some, you know, slightly happier news. Dulwich Hamlet, of course, went top of the Isthmian Premier Division this week, and there are many clubs in the hunt for promotion there. Lying fifth in the final playoff spot, but with games in hand over many around them. Hendon FC, they continue to compete alongside some of their big paying rivals, and on Saturday they entertain fourth place Margate. And to tell us more about it is Hendon manager Gary McCann. Hello, Gary.
Good evening, chaps.
Well, I've not seen you this season, but I know how you like to play football. I've heard some great reports about your team and the players, but many people still seem to be surprised that you're still in the playoffs and looking strong. Does that make you smile, or does it hurt a little?
No, a bit of both, I think. I think, you know, we have surprised a few, especially on the back of last year and maybe the year before. I mean, it's been well documented, the troubles we've had over the last couple of years, and you know, what we felt is if we could build on what, you know, the way we finished last year and had the right players in the right areas, we wouldn't be too far away, and that's proved to be the case. I mean, I think that element of surprise that we've had for the, you know, for the first half of the season is, you know, as we've exhausted that, I feel. I don't think we're creeping up on anyone now. Everyone knows that we're a good side. We've got a lot of ability and a lot of quality in the final third. And the youngsters, they're holding the rear guard up, are very much learning on the job and improving on a week-to-week basis. So, you know, in terms of where we've at, and out on the back of the summer we had, there was a certain amount of optimism and belief that we could do something, and it's proved to be the case.
Yeah, you mentioned the youngsters there, and, you know, you have got some real youngsters within your side, haven't you? And you've given them a chance, and they've really shone.
Yeah, we have. I mean, you know, in the back line, we've got an 18 and 19-year-old playing most weeks. Got an 18-year-old who's playing in midfield. And two boys in the final third that are sort of 20 and under. So we are a young side. You know, that fearlessness that they've played with most of the season, we've got to try and harness until the end. I'd like to think that we've got enough about us and enough quality to see us through. We've got a couple of key experienced players to come back the weekend, which we have missed over the course of the season, that little bit of experience at times. But we do have it in the squad, but we've just not been able to get them on the pitch and, you know, at the same time. But everything seems to be falling into place at the right time. We've had a bit of a wobble in January, which I think was a test that I'm pleased we've come through. Because when you've got a young group and you do have a slight wobble, it's how they, you know, cope with that and how they react from that. And I think February we went unbeaten and, you know, we got ourselves back where we needed to be, and, you know, and it's something that we're very keen to, you know, to finish. And, you know, we've got some tough games in March, but we're ready and prepared.
Gary, looking at your record currently, obviously, with, you know, 60 points and 33 games, so you've got a few games in hand, as Sim's already alluded to, against Margate and again with Folkestone. But scoring a lot of goals this season, 72 for the season in the league. Is the expectation from a fan's perspective more necessary than yours? Because you've got those youngsters in the team, there wasn't a huge expectation, so therefore the pressure's not on you as it would be if, let's say, you had a team full of sort of like, you know, 28, 29-year-olds going out there week in, week out. And having that younger team, if you don't quite make into the playoffs, the supporters are going to be looking forward to next season, seeing these youngsters grow and grow and grow.
Yeah, I think there's an element of that. I think that fearless approach that youngsters bring to the party is, you know, is key in all sides. I think that, you know, we do get caught up with trying to wrap ourselves around, you know, experienced players and players that we know, players that we're comfortable what they're giving it. But that element of sort of, you know, surprise and quality that youngsters can bring, you know, has been a breath of fresh air for our supporters this year. I mean, we have been free scoring. You know, we are one of the top scorers in the division. I mean, we scored against the top sides as much as the bottom sides. So everyone's felt the sort of wrath of our front area of the pitch. And I think, you know, the pressures that lie elsewhere, I can't speak for them, but I do know that clubs put an awful lot of money into making the playoffs and getting promotion. And, you know, we very much work with, you know, sort of never beyond our means. We always work with a budget that we know is not the most competitive, but we do, you know, we do give the, you know, the youngsters and players with the quality, you know, the window and platform to succeed and progress from. And I think the biggest challenge for us, you've just mentioned, you know, if we don't achieve this year, we've got next season to look forward to these. I think our biggest challenge will be hanging on to these players. I mean, players in question, some of them are contracted, some of them are not. But, you know, we hope that we can keep this group together. But there's been so much interest in the front end of the pitch and other areas. So that'll be a challenge in itself. Nico's just, the centre forward's just had a, you know, a trial at QPR, and he's just had a week up with Darren Ferguson at Doncaster Rovers as well. That's not been sort of well documented, but he's just had a decent week there, and they're gonna have another further look towards the end of the season. So, as I say, the interest is starting to build, and it's our, you know, it's our challenge to try and sort of fend as much as it away, but also not, you know, halting the progression of the youngsters, because we do as a club want to see the, you know, the kids progress.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a similar story really at FC United, to be honest, because we've got five players all around between 17 and 19, all on now on 2-year contracts, because we can see the quality that they've got. We don't want to hold them back, but equally you want to be able to recoup maybe a little bit of money so you can carry on developing those players. And the one thing, and I'm sure you'll agree with me on this, is that the position you're in at the moment, being in fifth, there's no fear with any of these young players. So they're not going to, let's say, they're not going to bottle it, are they, going towards the end of the season, because it's something that's new to them, and they're just going to be enjoying the ride that they're going on.
Well, I think that's what, you know, you're trying to create, and you know them players to go into every game and, you know, in every situation with expression, because you know, we've used those words of, you know, fearlessness on numerous occasions, and youngsters bring that. They bring that because they, you know, there is no fear factor, and you know it's that age group that I really enjoy working with. You know, as I've just said to you, you do want to see them progress. You want to see them move to the next plateau, and you, of course, you want to be rewarded for that. It's not always possible because you know non-league football works at times. You have players that are non-contract basis and using you as a platform to the next plateau. But I have no issues with that, as long as they're performing and doing what's required with us. They very much, you know, go with my blessing. And you want to create stability, but you also know that if you're doing well and you're a young side, there's going to be interest. So, you know, it's just getting that balance right on a year-to-year basis, you know.
Of course, and the one thing to bear in mind as well is, from a supporter's perspective, because we're all supporters of football, it is great to watch a bunch of young kids. I mean, we've had a very up and down season this year. We've got a new manager who really has got a lot of faith in the youngsters, brought them all in, and it's so good to watch them express themselves, play, and enjoy the game. And you know, supporters can take a defeat better, I believe, when you've got a young player on a pitch that are giving it all, but the inexperience maybe sometimes doesn't help them. But you can put up with it because you're watching possibly your future of your football club or players that you know that we're moving on to bigger and better things.
Totally that. I think, you know, when you've had a defeat with a team of youngsters that you know you're developing and you're working with and you're seeing progress, I think fans relate to that. I think they relate to that. They warm to that. They have that affinity to that type of player. I think, you know, it's key. I think, you know, what we've done as well, we've not just taken youngsters from elsewhere, because we're always looking at the markets in and around us and underneath us, which are, you know, with the best young talent we can find. But we've also, you know, had a very successful return in terms of our youth team recently, which we've not had in recent times. So they're seeing youth team players come through as well. I mean, we've had, four or five youth team players in and around the first team squad this year as well. Again, supporters can relate to that. So, yeah, I think it's key. I think it's, you know, it's, you have got to get the balance right. You know, these kids do need a bit of protection with experience, you know, in the right areas. But that's our job as a management team to get that balance right. And this season, you know, we've definitely managed to do that. I still feel it's a team that's evolving. It's a team that's still, you know, there's still room for improvement. And as I've just said, the January we've just had will go a long way to creating and instilling an even bigger confidence in what can be achieved this year.
Of course, and just looking at the league, those three games that you've got in hand over Margate and Folkestone, they're going to be so instrumental in where you finish this season, aren't they?
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll have a team meet tonight. I mean, my concern going into Saturday, and there's no excuse, because we had 10 on the treatment table after the Lowestoft game. We were really stretched, but we've not had no game for 2 weeks going into Saturday with the weather and whatnot. But most are in the same boat. But I think, you know, I'll be sharing with a group tonight, and it will be something that will be discussed in the team meet, the next three games. I mean, if we can maximise, you know, what we can, you know, achieve in the next three games, I think we can start looking at the bigger prize. And I say the bigger prize being, you know, maybe second in the table, maybe pushing as much as we can for the top spot. You know, Billericay are having a bit of a wobble at the moment. I mean, I know the talent and ability and quality they've got in their squad, but they're finding it tough at the moment to pick up results. So I think the next two or three games are key for us, as much as you're talking about the games in hand. Those games in hand will come over the course of the next 6 weeks. So while everyone's playing on a Saturday-to-Saturday basis, if we can get maximum points in our next three, I think, you know, the prize that we'll be looking for is maybe slightly greater than what we're trying to achieve at present. Mm. I think playoffs will be a fantastic achievement for this young squad. And I do feel that, you know, we should be taking the plaudits from afar with that. But if we can finish second in the table and get home advantage as well, you know, I think it'd be a near-perfect season outside of winning it. But, next three games are key for us, as much as the games in hand are. And that's very much what we'll be sharing with the squad tonight.
We spoke to you previous seasons, Gary, and there was talk of retirement. I sense you'd fallen out of love with the game back then, but you know, now you've got your own home, a great 3G pitch, good little clubhouse set up there as well, and things certainly going well on the field, and you can hear it in your voice. I'm guessing that magic's back now with you, is it?
Yeah, I mean, you go through periods, didn't you, over the course of your management, where some challenge you and test you mentally.
You go through that as a fan, mate, I tell you.
Yeah, exactly. You know, totally. We all do. And, you know, we had no home for 6 years. We were, you know, working with more likely one of the smaller budgets in the division. We were fighting every year to stay in it. We had an unbelievable season 3 years ago, which we got beat in the playoff final against Margate. And that was a side that took 2 or 3 years to build. That was dismantled. That's the summer of that year. So, you know, there was a bit of flatness in, you know, and I'm sure in my approach and my talk. But, you know, I've got a burning ambition inside of me to be successful and to be as successful as I can be. You know, I want that to be within the football club that I love most, which is obviously Hendon Football Club. And what we've managed to do over the last 18 months, 2 years, is create a stability and an environment that makes the management job that bit easier. I mean, you know, when you're working from your suitcase virtually out on the road, it's tough. It's really tough. But, you know, like you've just said, we've got a home, we've got a base, we've got 16, 17 youth teams running, you know, under the banner now. We're, you know, it's a club that's very much progressive and moving in the right direction. And what I've seen is a, you know, a club that sort of, you know, that is very much coming up to matching your own ambition. And of course, we're all ambitious for bigger and better, but what we do want is our own club to meet your own ambition, and we're definitely starting to do that, and we're being rewarded on the pitch for it, you know?
Yeah, we opened up the show with the situation at Dulwich Hamlet, and obviously you've played them this season. You're Mr. Hendon, so you've seen some really rough times, really. You know, over the decades I've known you, mate, seemingly you come out the other end, and there's positivity. Have you got any advice to those involved at Dulwich, their supporters and everybody?
No, I think it'd be patronising of me to advise, because I don't know the full extent of exactly where they're at. I don't know the history of what's got it to the point that it's at now. What I do know, that as long as they stick together and they stay as one on the inside, you know, be it the management, be it the players, be it the supporters, be it the board, they'll come through the other side of it. No one's had a more difficult, you know, sort of last 6-7 years than we have. But what we all did was very much stick together. And that's what they need to do as a club. They, you know, in no shape or form should they sort of, you know, to fall away from that. If they stick together, I'm sure they'll be fine. I mean, Gav's a very, very close friend of mine. He's a football friend, and, you know, he's someone I speak to regularly, and I wouldn't wish that upon anyone. But, you know, if they stay tight as a group, I'm sure they'll come through the other side of it.
Well, always good to speak to you, Gary. We wish you well at the weekend and also for the rest of the season, and, you know, hopefully get you back on before the end of the season when you're celebrating, maybe promotion or getting in those playoffs.
Yeah, well, that's very much the target. I think we're, as I said, we put ourselves in a fantastic position, but we've still got it all to do. So hopefully that's the case, Tim. We look forward to speaking to you again, yeah?
So, Pete, it's good to, you know, the Hendon story, you know, obviously when Dave was in charge, Dave Anderson, you know, when they didn't take their promotion from Conference South, and then since then it's everything sort of fell away. They lost their ground, they're on the move. You know, Gary's been involved there for so long as a player. I remember him as a cheeky goalkeeper, and then, you know, He, as I said, he seemed to get a little bit disenchanted, but now they really have got a great setup there, and the youth teams, as Gary mentioned, you know, they're something that I've been keeping an eye on, and it's just nice that they haven't really got a great fan base either, because of where they are and sort of been on the wander as nomads in recent years. But, you know, surely success is going to start bringing a few more people back.
You would think so, and the one thing is, I mean, you know, 6 or 7 years, as you know, it's been a really difficult time for supporters, for players, for the board and the manager himself. But they've come through it. They've got the base. They've got a lot of other football teams underneath them now working. They've got a 3G pitch, which obviously helps create the revenue. And obviously they're playing some very, very good football. It just goes to prove, if you can stay tight, you can stay working as a unit, you know, because being nomads is very, very difficult. I mean, obviously, from an FC perspective, we were at Bury when we first started, and then we were quite nomadic. We ended up at Curzon Ashton and also at playing our football at Stalybridge Celtic, and then other grounds as well, if we had to. And once you've got your own base, you can start laying foundations, and that's what they've done. You know, Gary is back with the football club. You can hear his passion. You can tell the fact that he's utilising the youth system that they've got. And, you know, with either a promotion this season or maybe next season, you know, supporters come back. But they've got the basis of everything there. And sometimes you're just one of those football clubs that don't have a huge fan base, and there's nothing you can do about it. But what you do have is a very close-knit fan base. And, you know, if you can generate money through your 3G and everything else, and you're sustainable, then there's no reason why you can't be successful. And they're proving, after a number of years in the doldrums, that they're actually really back, and back with a vengeance.
So let's have another happy story. As we've mentioned before, with the reorganisation of divisions this summer, promotion this season for clubs at Step 4 has even more importance. In the Evo Stick First Division, North Scarborough Athletic currently sit third, with the top two automatically promoted, and potential for a third as well at the final shake-up across the divisions. They take on Bamber Bridge on Saturday, who sit in turn at fourth in the table. Joining us on the line to tell us more is Scarborough manager Steve Kittrick. Welcome, Steve.
Good afternoon, fellas. How are you?
Well, we're good, and, you know, like almost every division in the pyramid this season, yours is very tight. You know, big games like this one on Saturday, it's being at home a big advantage. You know, I see that you're getting crowds of something like 1,100 at home games at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, it's like having a 12th person, really. But the crowds have been very, very good. I mean, they've been better since we've got back to our new ground at Scarborough. I mean, we played Bamber Bridge 2 weeks ago, and we took 350 supporters away. So it'll be a different test for Bamber at the weekend, you know, it'll be a good game.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, the ground. I was going to come on to that, but we've already spoken earlier in this show about the Dulwich Hamlet situation. We seem to speak every week to clubs in crisis. But for once, Scarborough really seemed to be on the up in every sense, don't you? You're back in Scarborough, in your own ground, the community appearing to get behind you. How much of a difference does that make to you and the players on the field?
Massive thing. I mean, the biggest influx I've just seen is the younger people. We're getting people coming from the ages of like 5, 6 up to 17, 18 year old. And I think what people have got to realise that there hasn't been a football club in Scarborough for 10 years. So they've missed a generation of young people who only watch TV, football on TV. Now they can get it at grassroots. You know, I've seen a massive, massive turnaround with the kids. I think they've sold something like 300 or 400 replica shirts already. You know, and a lot of them are a kid sizes, so it's been really good.
Steve Swamp here from FC United Radio. The game of the weekend, as I say, if I wasn't Harrogate, I'd be watching Scarborough versus Bamber Bridge. Both of you play some very attractive football, good quality football. Is it imperative for the 3 points on Saturday for you to bridge that gap even more against Bamber?
Yeah, I think the thing is, I mean, I think they're 7 points behind us, I think. You know, if we can get it to 10, I think it's going to be a three-horse race then. But if we don't get something out of the weekend and they do, I think there'll be four of us in the race.
Of course, yeah. And the one thing to bear in mind this season as well is that it's a little bit confusing. And have you got your head around it now, that the fact that the top three in this division could automatically go up? Or are you just looking at base?
Yeah, I've got my head around. So it's the only point in the baggage you can get. That's
right,
thing.
Yeah. I mean, the big thing for you as well, looking at your fixtures for the rest of the season, you've obviously played South Shields, you've played Hyde, home and away. The games on paper aren't as difficult as, you know, other teams have got. So does that benefit you? Do you think, I mean, you know, you've got Joylston to play, you've got Colwyn Bay to play and people like that. But you're in a very good position, aren't you?
Yeah, I just think, it's the old cliche, we take every game as it comes and we give every team as much respect as they deserve. And, you know, anybody can beat anybody on the day. I mean, you know, we went to Shields unexpected on New Year's Day and won 3-1, and that's the first time they've been beaten in the league game in 18 months. You know, but then we had an own game the other week, and I'm just trying to think who it was, and a mid-table team, and we struggled for long periods, but we got through the last sort of 10, 15 minutes. So, you know, and I've always said everybody wants to beat Scarborough, everybody wants to beat Hyde, everybody wants to beat Shields. You know, they're the three biggest scalps in the league, so it's a feather in anybody's cap if they can achieve that.
Of course, and we saw last week, didn't we, Shields being held to, 2 weeks ago now, Shields being held to a draw by Radcliffe Borough, you know, and I think no one could have foresaw that. I mean, they've got Radcliffe this week, but from a Scarborough perspective, are you where you want to be at this time of the season? Are you aware that it was the projections? Because I know last season you were superb. You've had, you know, you've been on the up and up and up, and with the new ground opening this year. Is promotion a must really for you?
Well, I think that was a remit that they set me at the beginning of the season. You know, and I want to achieve that because I think, you know, like your club, you know, it's got a very good fan base. It'll only get bigger and better. And there's, you know, there's another stand being built at the other side of the ground in the summer. And hopefully they're going to get it to something like a 3,000 or 4,000 capacity so they can play in the conference. That's the end game. You know, but we'll have to see. I mean, there's a lot of football to be played. We're still in the League Cup. We're still in the County Cup. So, next week we're playing Tuesday, got a game Wednesday, and we've got Colwyn Bay Saturday, Mosley on the Tuesday, Atherton Thursday, and Atherton Saturday. So we've got a busy week, busy 2 weeks really. So
and within them
problems, which I bet it does. Yes. Problems, as you know.
Within them cup competitions, then obviously, you know, a cup competition is always important. You always want to win those. But are you having to rely on maybe some of the more youthful players, some of the players that aren't getting regular first team football, you know, with those games coming thick and fast?
Yeah, I mean, we'll obviously the league's the priority. So we've got two league games. We've got a league game, then we've got the semi final of the East Riding Cup, which is.
East Riding, yeah.
Yeah, the winner plays Middlesbrough at Middlesbrough, so that's an incentive. And then we've got a league game, we've got Colwyn Bay, and then Mosley, that's important. Then we've got Atherton in the League Cup on the Thursday, so, you know, there probably will be some changes. But you just don't know, you might get injuries. We've only got 19, 18 players, so, and I have a couple of injuries anyway, so we're a bit thin on the ground. You know, and then you may ask, why do you fetch some loan players in? But I think sometimes you've got to fetch the right people in to embrace your club and they want to do well. Not, I don't want journey people. You see, I've never been. I had my fingers burnt at guys who wanted to journey people, and I learned a lesson. So,
Steve, we did a show last night at the Northern Premier League show. I know you've been on there on many occasions, and Ben's spoken to you, but you know. We talked about South Shields, Hyde and Scarborough and possibly Bamber Bridge being able to grace the Northern Premier League with the quality of football going forward. But from your perspective, I mean, how far and how quickly do you think Scarborough can go? Obviously, you're doing a great job at this moment in time. How do you see the club developing and going forward?
Well, thanks very much for those kind words. But the thing is, it's down to money, isn't it? I mean, you know, money is a big thing in this level of football. And you know, you've been around players yourself. So they'll sell the grandmother for £10, some of them, and they'll move away. But I think if you've got a good budget and it's about recruiting right and having a good team spirit at this level, and I think you can get where you need to be. And I think we've done all the three this year. We've been lucky. We've got a really good dressing room. We're not the best payers in the league, but I would say we're in the top four. And we have a great stadium, great crowd. And, you know, the big thing at our place, everybody's behind us, including the chairman, the board. They make it great on a match day. It's a good place to be, but it always is when you're winning, isn't it? You know, it'd probably be a different story if we weren't in top three or four. So, we all have to experience a bit of that in his weeks of football. But, you know, everything's good, isn't it, at the moment? Everybody's happy and everybody's, you know, smiling on the faces. I mean, the big thing for me, wherever I've gone, I've made sure people have a smile on the face and enjoy the football. And I'll just touch on what you have. You know, obviously I've managed in Conference North. But I think the standard of football at the two levels below that are very, very good now, because a lot of players are filtering down into these leagues, and you know, they've all been at clubs and they all want to play football. That's the big thing, they want to play football and play in the right way. I think that's a big thing.
Yeah, I mean, I've certainly seen that this season in the Northern Premier Division, both in the North, the South and the Premier Division itself. There's good quality footballers that are playing. And as you say, you know, when you get the likes of Julian Arca, who obviously is probably the most famous of all names in this division, who's, you know, showing quality and playing at 36, 37 years of age, and the quality of football on show from both yourselves. And as I say, across the division, and we know the Colwyn Bay game is going to be a difficult game for you. We know Drowsdon that you've got coming up as well in the next month or so. They play, there's good football in this division all over, but the standout teams really...
Tadcaster have had a good run, haven't they? I mean, I went to watch Tadcaster and Colwyn Bay on Tuesday night, and if that game had been finished at half time, you know, and it were on points, Colwyn Bay would have won it easy. But Tadcaster came out the second half and scored early and made it a different game. It was an interesting game, but another two good sides that we've got to play. So I don't
exactly,
think any game's
going
to be easy. And I think everybody wants Scarborough as a scalp, and Shields and Hyde. So we're in that three where everybody wants to beat us, and that's not being big-headed about who we are and where we put ourselves on that pedestal, because we're doing well this year. And everybody, like when we went up to Shields on New Year's Day, you know, I wanted a point. If I came away with a point there, I'd have been more than happy. But we came away with three and we played really well, and Shields didn't know what I did to them.
No.
Look at the quality that Shields have got. You know, everybody wants to beat them, and we're just looking. I have a sneaky little look after each game and see who's how they've done. But we've got to look after our ship and steer it, and just worry about other results after 5 o'clock, really.
Of course, and I think if the truth be known, at the beginning of the season, when the likes of us are the pundits, so to speak, look at the teams in the division, and those that had seen South Shields would have been like myself saying, well, they'll probably win it by a country mile. I saw them at Wembley, and they were outstanding. I saw them pre-season, they were outstanding. It's testament to this division of the clubs like yourself and Highs and Bambers and Prescotts and Tadcaster and even Trafford that have kept there or thereabouts with a team who, in reality, everyone was expecting to run away with this division, and the quality has been absolutely superb for everyone to see.
Yeah, but I mean, Shields, you know, look on paper, and what they've done over the last 2 or 3 years is tremendous. But, I mean, you're playing the first time round and you know the key players, which you've mentioned one of them. But a lot of teams are identifying that and combating that and working hard to get the ball back off it and keep them and play. But, I mean, all we've done is, you know, we've played football with them. We beat them at their own game on their own ground, which was pleasing to see. So, but they've got to keep at it. And they're a good football inside. I mean, you know, excuse me. they could play the team they've got on paper could play in Conference North easily.
Yeah, yeah. Totally agree. And I think, in all fairness, I think, you know, yourselves and Hyde can grace the next division if you both get promoted comfortably. And you know, it's good times ahead going forward for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, they're expecting 1,600 people at the weekend because they haven't had a game for a couple of weeks. So, and that's good. And they'll only get the crowds will only get better and bigger as we're going into April. If we're still there and thereabouts, you know, I can see us getting 1,800, 1,900, 2,000 our own games at the running if we're going to be there and thereabouts to win it.
Well, it's always great to finish a show on a positive note and a happy note. That's what non-league should be about, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, the thing is, football can become too serious, you know. And it is a serious. It's a business, isn't it, these days, you know. And a lot of, you know, supporters take a lot of things personally and to heart if they don't get what they want and they don't win. And we all do. We all want to be successful. But I just think, you know, I've got philosophies. I like everybody to have a smile on the face and all be positive. And I've got a positive dressing room, I've got a positive staff, and I've got a positive club. So that only gets positivity from everybody. And you get the young kids from 5-year-old to 17, 18-year-old, like I've said earlier in the interview, that have come to Scarborough, and they can see the positivity that, you know, we want to portray and enjoy and pay £10 and come and enjoy it and enjoy football playing in the right manner.
Well, lovely to speak to you, Steve. We wish you well at the weekend and for the rest of the season. We'll keep an eye on it and hopefully speak to you again very soon.
All right, thank you very much. Take care, guys.
Swampy, it is good to hear about a club that, well, I mean, they went through the mill and beyond, didn't they? And then they're back and they're on the way up and they're building it the right way with the community and the kids.
They certainly are. I remember, I think it was about 3 or 4 seasons ago, doing a fan of the year for the Northern Premier Division at the prestigious awards in Barnsley. And we interviewed a number of supporters on what they'd done. One of their biggest supporters was from Scandinavia, and he used to come over all the time, and he'd invested money in the football club. He had a love affair with Scarborough from a young boy. He'd been over there and he had this love affair. And what has happened to Scarborough? I mean, they have been nomads for many, many years, and to build and build and build the way they have, to have the new ground back to where it once was, to have a great ownership model as well as a football club, and to have the kids, and there's a huge amount of kids. They're developing the ground even more so to make it bigger, to up to about 4,000. And it is a very, very good story. You know, Steve as well, he's got the history. He's played, you know, he's managed in the conference. He's managed, you know, some big teams, and he's also managed teams with big budgets, and he's also managed teams with small budgets. So he's been great for them. The kids go free with an adult thing that they've done. It's been superb. And they are on the up, and as a football club, you know, as again, it's always good to finish with a good, you know, a really nice story in football. But as he rightly said, it's all about money. And if you've got a big support and you can share that equally within the football club and work within the football club, that's fine. But it does come down to money, great management, and the running of a football club has to be done in the right manner, because, you know, I'm sure they don't want to go back to the way they were a number of years ago, and clubs are going, unfortunately, still to this very day.
Well, that is all we've got time for this week. Thank you, Swampy. Thanks to all our guests and, of course, everybody that listens. Don't forget, you can find us throughout the season on Audio Boom, iTunes, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, and you can put our podcast on your site using the embeddable player at www.nonleaguefootballshow.com. Thank you and goodbye.
JABBA JABBA.